That went as well as could be expected, Weyland said.
Do you think Darthon will go north? Alex asked.
He doesn't really have much choice,
Weyland answered.
With the passes over the mountains closed, he must either go north or do nothing until spring comes. And he does not seem like a man who likes to do nothing but wait.
With the passes closed, I may have a hard time getting to Khanmar myself, Alex said.
I doubt that,
Weyland chuckled.
You can use your magic practically right in front of me, and I can't see it. I feel sure that you can use whatever magic you need to in order to get to Khanmar, and Jabez won't be aware of it.
For myself, yes, I can work any magic that is needed, Alex said. I have a feeling, however, that I won't be going to Khanmar alone.
Why is that?
Weyland asked. Because once I reach Khanmar, I will be trying to rescue any hostages that are there, Alex answered. If they are still alive, I doubt they will be in any condition to run away on their own. Darthon will think of that, and he will want to send men with me to help with their escape.
Probably,
Weyland agreed.
Still, you can use magic on your companions. Hide them as you've hidden me.
To travel there, yes, but once I go to face Jabez, I'm not sure what protection I can offer them.
When you face Jabez, he will be too worried about you to even think of the escaped hostages.
He will, but we don't know who or what else might be there helping him.
Yes, I understand. I'm sorry to say it, but the men and hostages will have to fend for themselves. Once you have freed them, they will have to find their way home without you. You have to find the Axe of Sundering, and I have no idea how long that might take.
And if you are captured while I'm searching?
I am not so easy to capture as that. I'll be able to buy you some time at the very least.
Remember my vision, the Orion Stones. If he has them and can use one of them...
I'll be careful,
Weyland promised.
And it's no good worrying about all the what-ifs and who-mights and such. We could plan for every possible thing that Jabez might do or have or throw against us. But if we did, we'd never get anything done. Instead of spending our time trying to guess all the answers, I suggest we concentrate on something more important.
And what might that be?
The midday meal, of course.
Food was brought into the meeting area, and several small tables were set up for the council guests. The meal was another good one, though a surprisingly quiet affair. Groups around the tables spoke in low voices to one another, and very few people moved between tables. Alex and Weyland found themselves alone at a table set to one side. Alex wanted to be friendly and get to know Darthon's people, but it seemed that no one else felt that way.
May I join you? Kareel asked quietly.
Of course,
Weyland replied.
Alex looked up from his plate as the elf approached.
Most of the men here fear us,
Kareel said mildly as he pushed back his hood so they could see his face.
And you have seen for yourselves how the dwarves feel about my people.
You can hardly blame them, Alex said. Your people are separated from the world of men for the most part. The troubles between elves and dwarves are ancient, and I do not see them changing soon.
We are separate, Kareel agreed. One might say that we are cut off from the world, though I wish it was not so.
I know little of your people,
Weyland said,
mostly stories and rumors. Tell me, Kareel, do you think your people will aid the men and dwarves of Westland? Will they come to the land and do battle with this evil?
You did not tell him,
Kareel asked, looking at Alex. It was not my place. I made a wizard's vow to not share what Aaliyah told me, Alex said. Not even with my friend.
I see, Kareel said, nodding. To answer your question, Master Vanken, some elves will fight, I am sure of that. The elders may not like it, but some will come. though not enough, I fear, to change the tide of battle.
The young will come, Alex said, those who don't understand why the elders want to remain cut off from the world.
Yes, mostly the young, but others as well, Kareel said. Times change, and many of my people feel that we should be more connected than we are.
None of them spoke for a time, each one lost in his own thoughts. Alex's thoughts were filled with questions about the sea elves. He wanted to know why they tried so hard to hide themselves. It seemed like madness to cut themselves off from the world simply because of their past. They were part of the world whether they liked it or not, and hiding themselves away would do no one any good at all.
Darthon will return soon with his decision, Kareel said, breaking the silence. He will go north. To war.
You know Darthon better than we do, Waylon said.
I have known him since he was a boy, as I knew his father and his father's father, Kareel answered. He is a good man. He trusts when others might doubt. He will go north because his allies there call him. But his heart will go west with Master Taylor.
West, to Joshua and the other hostages, Alex said.
He cares for all his people, as a true king must, Kareel said. But if he were not king and responsible for all, he would burn all of Jaro to save Joshua from the evil clutches of Jabez.
Then Joshua must be saved, Alex replied. Their conversation was cut short as Darthon returned to the council area. He looked tired, and Alex thought he might be pushing himself too hard.
My friends, Darthon said when the crowd grew quiet, it seems that war is upon us, and we have no time to waste. The armies of the Southern Kingdom will march north as soon as possible. Ships and supplies will be made ready and move as soon as the winds of Jaro allow them to sail north.
There was a general cheer for Darthon's decision, but it was not a joyful cheer. Everyone on the council knew that this war would be a long and hard one, and even with Darthon joining the other kingdoms of Westland against Conmar, they were unsure of what the future might hold.
Master Taylor, Darthon continued, you will travel west, to the seat of our enemy's power. All our hopes rest on you, and I would not send you there without others to help you on the road and once you get there.
Lord Darthon, a small group of men would be welcome, Alex replied. I do not know the paths of this land, and once the hostages are rescued, they will need assistance to make their escape.
A small company, then, no more than 20 men, Darthon said. Is there anything else I can do to aid you in your quest?
Alex thought for a moment. The passes over the mountains will be difficult for men, maybe impossible for horses. Is there some other way we can travel? Can we not sail around the southern end of Westland and then go north to Conmar? Darthon turned slightly to look at Kareel, and there seemed to be some unspoken communication between them. Darthon looked back at Alex, but it was Kareel that spoke.
The seas to the south are dangerous at all times, and in winter most dangerous of all, said Kareel. To sail south and then north would be a slower path than you think. I cannot imagine you making that journey in less than 2 months.
And how long before your armies join the battle in the north? Waylon asked Darthon.
Once we set out, we can reach the Middle Kingdom in 2, maybe 3 weeks, Darthon answered.
Too long, Alex said. It seems that every path leading to Conmar will take too long.
There is another way,
a soft voice said from behind Alex.
Alia, no, Kareel said sternly. That path is not open. To take that road courts folly and invites death.
He asked for a faster way, not a safer way, Alia replied. The road through the Black Lands is the only other path. I will guide Master Taylor to his goal.
You will not, Kareel said fiercely.
I forbid you to even think about such madness.
My fate is not in your hands, Kirill,
Aaliyah answered defiantly.
This is my destiny, and I will follow it, whatever the cost.
What is this path? Alex asked. What are the Black Lands?
A terrible place. A place no one goes to, not anymore,
Darthon answered.
Those who have gone there never return.
It was once the home of my people,
Aaliyah said. I understand, Alex said, remembering what Aaliyah had told him in the garden about the history of her people. I would like some time to consider this. How long before the armies move north?
4 days,
Timold replied. And how long would it take us to travel through the Black Lands and reach Khanmar?
7 or 8 days, if you can get through the Black Lands at all, Kirill said. After that, 10 days to 2 weeks to the castle of Khanmar.
Very good. I will try to find some other way, but in the end, if there is no other option, I will travel through the Black Lands to Khanmar, Alex said.
Find another way,
Kirill said quietly, leaning close to Alex.
By all we hold dear, find another way.
The council was concluded, and the lords of the southern kingdom departed to deal with the business of war. The dwarves and men from the north had their own preparations to make. Grimgold approached Darthon as the groups were leaving and spoke quietly with him. Waylon watched everything but said nothing, and Alex didn't know what to say. He had to find a way to move himself and 20 men west as fast as possible, and he didn't know how he was going to do it without daring the deadly Black Lands.
Master Taylor, may I ask something of you?
Kirill whispered in Alex's ear.
You wish me to refuse Aaliyah,
Alex said. If I take this road across the Black Lands, you wish me to forbid her to come with me.
I do, but that is not what I want to ask you now,
Kirill said. What then? How may I be of service to you? Alex asked.
Tonight, the elders of my people will hold a council of their own,
Kirill said.
As you may guess, our people are scattered across the seas of this world. But we have ways, magical ways, to speak to each other in times of need. Tonight we will talk about all that has happened, about what might happen to Westland and Jorro. Will you come and speak with them? After our council, you can ask about Darlach Estmesser. You might be able to learn something that will help you.
Aaliyah told you about my interest? Alex asked.
She told us all that passed between you,
Kirill said.
I cannot tell you more than she did about this ancient legend, but the council can. Will you come?
Yes, Alex said. I will come.
It's total madness, you know, this path through the Black Lands,
Waylon said later that afternoon when they were alone in their rooms.
No one can say what evil is there, but it's clear that both men and elves are terrified of the place.
Maybe they fear the unknown, Alex said.
Yes, and maybe there's something worse than you can imagine waiting there,
Waylon shot back.
When you rescued Skeld and the other adventurers from Carmus and Nisa, didn't you transform into a bird while they were inside your magic bag? Couldn't you do something similar now and fly over the mountains?
Maybe, Alex said, but that is a lot of magic. When I transformed with Skeld and the others in my magic bag, there were only a few of them and no horses, and it was only for a short flight. Hiding 20 men and 20 horses while I transform into a bird, and while still protecting you from Jabez, and while hiding my own magic, would be difficult. There are other problems as well.
Like what?
What if we run into a storm over the mountains and I can't fly? How long will it take to cross the mountains as a bird? Do I change back and forth every day? The men and horses can't stay in my magic bag for the whole journey. You know how dangerous transformations can be for a wizard. How much more dangerous might it be for men and horses? Waylon sighed, his shoulders slumping in defeat and agreement.
But the Black Lands sound too dangerous to even consider.
How can you say that when we know almost nothing about them? Alex asked. They do have something in their favor, though it is a small point. It might, however, be the small point we need to win this fight.
What is that?
They are the last place Jabez will be looking, Alex said, smiling. Waylon frowned, thinking.
You're probably right. I'm sure he knows about the Black Lands, but Jabez cares nothing for his men. So, if he is unwilling to send his own army there because he knows they will be destroyed, then we should take that as a warning.
Does he know, or is that just what he believes? Alex asked.
I heard what Kirill said, Alex. We need to find another way, though I don't have any idea what that might be.
Chapter 17 Legends. It was late, and the palace halls were mostly empty. Alex had told Waylon what he was doing and where he was going, and Waylon had simply nodded his understanding and said nothing. Now, Alex followed Kirill out of the palace and into the streets of Valora. They went downhill toward the harbor, and Alex understood why. The magic of the sea elves was tied to the open sea, and they would need all the power they could summon to communicate with their elders who were scattered across the oceans of Jaro.
This way, Kirill said,
leading Alex away from the docks. They walked along the shoreline for a mile. When they came to the city wall, Kirill produced a silver key which he slipped between two stones. There was a soft click, and a section of the ground and lower wall moved aside, revealing a stairway leading down, though not directly through the wall. Alex found himself in a passageway, expertly carved but poorly lit.
My people built this when we first landed here, Kirill said. It was so long ago that only the king and a few of his lords knew that it is here, and they would be hard-pressed to find it without a guide.
The passage was straight and had a gentle downward slope. They walked in silence for another mile, and then the passage started sloping up. Alex wondered where they could be, because by his reckoning they were moving eastward. After climbing a long set of stairs, they came out of a stone arch and into an open bowl-like area. The top of the chamber was open to the sky, and Alex could see the stars high above him. He could hear the gentle waves slapping against the rocks, but looking around, he could see nothing but stone.
We are surrounded by water here, Kirill said. From the deck of a ship, this place looks like a small stony island. It is a place for ships to steer well clear of.
Alex nodded his understanding and took a closer look at his surroundings. The hollowed-out space was like a small amphitheater with stone benches carved along the walls. The wooden chairs in front of him were already filled with sea elves, their hoods removed and their faces revealed. Set in front of the elves were 9 silver stands, each one supporting what looked like a very large and finely cut crystal. Alex followed Kirill to the front of the group of sea elves and took the seat that Kirill offered him.
We are ready, Kirill said to Alex. You don't need to do anything. The elders will appear shortly.
How? Alex asked.
Ancient magic that we have protected for a long time, Kirill said. Each of the crystals has a twin, which is held by one of the elders. When they will it, their likeness will appear, and they will be able to see and hear all that happens here.
Alex waited and watched. For a time, it seemed that nothing was happening, but he soon noticed that each of the crystals in front of him began to glow with a dim light.
the magic of the crystals was very different than Alex imagined it would be. The lords of the sea elves did not appear above the crystals as he thought they would, nor were they the semi-transparent figures he'd imagined. Instead, each of the crystals, along with the silver stands, vanished from sight, and in their places sat very real and solid-looking elf lords. As soon as all of the lords had appeared, the elf in the center spoke. His voice was musical and strangely sad, and while the words that he spoke were not exactly the same as the elven language Alex knew, he was still able to follow what was being said. Alex thought that maybe he should say something, because the elves appeared to think he could not understand them.
"Good. He's agreed to come," the Sea Lord from the Middle Crystal commented. "We were not sure that he would."
"That he would dare,"
another lord to Alex's left added. A spark of anger flared inside Alex. He knew that the elves had doubts and that they had lived in fear for many years, but the part of him that was a dragon did not take kindly to the comment about his not daring to come here.
"He appears to be all that he claims," Kirill said.
"Things are seldom what they appear to be,"
one of the lords to Alex's right answered. "And sometimes things are more than they appear to be," Alex said in perfect elven. "I have dared to do many things in my short life, and I hope to do more. What, may I ask, have you dared to do in your long lifetimes?" The elf lords fell silent. Some seemed surprised that Alex spoke their language, while others frowned in anger that he had challenged them so directly.
"Forgive our doubts," the elf lord at the center said after a pause. "We have not been introduced. I am Navarre, the eldest remaining of my people in Jarro."
He gestured to the elf on Alex's right.
"This is Sarrak, my advisor. I can see you are angry about our doubts and perhaps at our fear as well. We have lived in fear for a long time. Too long, I think."
"We must protect ourselves," Sarrak said.
"To hide in fear is not the best path to protection," another of the elf lords commented.
"Enough," Navarre interrupted. "We have debated for a long time, and we have not agreed on a path. That is not the reason for this meeting. Master Taylor, we know what you have shown to Aaliyah. She may never have seen a true wizard, but what she tells us reassures us that you are what you say you are. We asked you here to offer you what we can. We will share with you the legends of the distant past, if you think they can help you in your quest."
"Thank you, my lords. I am grateful for your help," Alex answered. "To be honest, I wish to hear more about the Black Lands before we speak of Darlok Est Messer. Tell me, if you can, what is there? What is it that you and all others fear in that place?"
"The Black Lands," Navarre replied slowly. "A path I would advise against, and yet..."
The elf fell silent, as if lost in memory or deep thought. After a moment he shook himself, glanced quickly at the other elf lords, and then settled his gaze on Alex.
"Aaliyah told you what she knows, and I will tell you more. In ancient times our people sought for more power than was wise. They wished for things that were not meant to be. In their pride they used magic that they did not truly understand, and that was our ruin. They gave more life to things than they should have, and worse, they gave solid form to shadows."
"More life?" Alex asked.
"Perhaps those are the wrong words," Navarre answered. "They could not truly give more life, but they made things more alive. For example, They gave plants the ability to move from place to place when nature decreed they should remain. This was a small thing to them, and perhaps no greater evil would have come if they had stopped there. Sadly, they did not stop. They learned to give form to shadows, allowing them to move freely on their own. When the shadows remained below ground, working in the mines, things were fine.
Wait, said Alex. To give shadows form requires no great magic, and there is no evil in such an act.
Perhaps not, said Navarre. The ancient dark elves, however, wished for something more than mindless shadows that could do little for them. They wanted servants, slaves, to be honest, who could work without being constantly controlled. They tried their magic on many things, but in the end they decided that the best slaves, the most useful, would be something like themselves. So they gave their own shadows solid forms and set them to work in the mines. As I said, if they had remained in the mines, below ground and away from the sun, things might have been fine. The shadows, however, had been given the ability to think for themselves almost as living beings. They were beautiful creatures in the beginning, pale, silver-gray shadows in the forms of elves. But with their ability to think came emotions and desires, something their creators had not considered. The shadows longed for freedom outside of the mines, and the sunlight they had never seen. So they came up out of the mines, into the world, and then...
They could not remain in the sunlight, Alex said when Navarre seemed unable to continue. Direct sunlight would undo the magic that gave them form.
It did not undo the magic. It changed it, said Navarre. The light of the sun twisted the shadows the elves had created, distorting their forms, changing them into monsters. Seeing what they had become, they turned against those who had created them. They hate the elves, and they hate anything that reminds them of what they once looked like. Men and even dwarves are not safe from their hate or their desire for vengeance.
They still remain? Alex asked. They did not fade away when those who made them died or faded?
Many of the remaining dark elves have faded, and many more have sailed to the undying lands in the west,
Navarre answered.
Or at least they tried to sail west. We have some doubts if they could reach the undying lands, leaving their evil alive behind them. As far as we know, the shadows remain in the Black Lands, but none of our people have gone there for many ages of men.
And this happened to all the Dark Elves in all the known lands? Alex asked.
Yes, Navarre said. They did not see their folly until the practice had spread to all of our people. Now those of us who remain must pay the price for their mistake.
He gestured to the other elves in the room.
Our price is paid by a life tied to the sea.
Alex didn't say anything for a minute. He considered everything he'd been told and what he already knew about giving shadows a solid form. To create thinking creatures, living beings from shadows, would require some very powerful magic. That the creatures had remained for so long, even after their creators had vanished, was hard for him to believe. No magic that he knew of would remain for so long unless something or someone renewed the magic from time to time. The Brotherhood? Alex wondered. Could the Brotherhood be connected to these shadows? Has the group existed for so long unnoticed? You believe that in time this curse will end, Alex finally said. Tell me, if you will, how you think the curse will end.
That brings us back to the legend of Darlok Est Meser,
Navarre replied.
Simply put, it is believed that in a time of darkness, when evil threatens all the known lands, the Master of Dragons will come. This master will fight the evil with the aid of a nameless dragon, and if he can defeat it with his dragon ally, a great time of renewal will follow. Many wrongs of the past will fade away, and better times for all the known lands will follow.
And if they fail? Alex asked.
Then evil will rise, and darkness will consume the known lands,
Navarre answered.
I and many of my people believe that failure would mean our end. It would be the end for many good things, to be sure.
I don't suppose the legend says when all this is going to happen, Alex said.
Legends cannot be marked on a calendar, Navarre replied. We must hope that the Master of Dragons and his nameless ally will come soon. For now, we hope and we wait.
Nameless ally, Alex repeated softly to himself. All dragons have names, even if the names they go by are not their true names.
Navarre held up his hands in helpless surrender.
I can only tell you the words of the legend, and they say only that a nameless dragon will come and aid the Master of Dragons.
Very well, Alex said, his mind trying to see how the pieces fit together and failing. I thank you for telling me what you have, though I feel I have more questions than answers.
Answers are always harder to find than questions, Navarre said.
Press them to join this battle, Alex's Ogash suddenly whispered. As a sign of goodwill, show them what you are, your wizard powers, the fact that you are a dragon lord, everything except your dragon side. Show them and ask them to fight.
Alex hesitated, but he knew his Ogash was right. If the men and dwarves of Westland were going to have any real chance to win the coming war, they would need help from the Sea Elves. As a sign of good faith, I will show you what many of you wish to see, Alex said as he stood up. He moved forward to stand between the Elf Lords and the Elves seated behind him. As I did for Aaliyah, I ask you, see me for what I am. Alex bowed his head for a moment, concentrating on how much he would reveal. Then he looked up at the stars of Jaro, and a surprisingly strong feeling of hope filled him. Somehow he knew that he would reach Conmar Castle, and that he would defeat Jabez and his evil. He did not know how he would get there, and he could not see how he would win. He simply knew that he would. Alex uncovered his magic for all the Sea Elves to see, and this time he did not hide his power as a dragon lord. There were a few gasps of surprise, but mostly there was a stunned silence. He didn't think many of them had ever seen a true wizard, and he knew none of them had ever seen a dragon lord. He stood for several minutes, allowing the elves to see his true power, sure that none of them would reveal his secret to Jabez.
You spoke truly, Navarre managed to say. Some things are more than they appear to be, as we now see that you are. I do not recognize all of the magic I see in you, as some of it seems very strange.
That is the magic of a dragon lord, Alex said, returning to his seat. I am a dragon lord, named such by a lord of dragons, and the eldest of that race in all the known lands. The elf lords didn't say anything for a time, but Alex could see they were talking to each other. Something in their magic allowed them to speak together while preventing Alex from hearing their words. After a few minutes of debate, Navarre broke the silence.
If you are a dragon lord, then are you not also the Master of Dragons that the legend speaks of?
Navarre asked.
I do not know,
Alex said. To my mind, dragons have no masters, except possibly the ancient dragon of whom I spoke. That is why this legend is so puzzling to me. I would not claim to be a master of dragons, though I believe that any dragon I faced would speak to me before attacking.
Clearly you know more of dragons than we do,
Navarre said thoughtfully.
You have shown us your power, and have been honest and true with us. Is there something we may do for you? Ask of us what you will. For myself and those of my house, we will try to do whatever you may ask.
I would ask that you come to the aid of your friends here in Westland, Alex said. The war that they are facing will be a hard one, and I am not sure that they can win it alone.
As a united race, we have not meddled in the affairs of mortals for ages,
Sarak said quickly.
To do so now would expose our people to the evil in this and other lands.
Tell me, Sarak, do you think your people are safe because you do not meddle? Do you think they are safe because evil does not know you exist? Alex asked. Stories of the sea elves are told in many lands, and the evil facing us all surely knows where your people are. It may not see you as a threat because you do not meddle, but sooner or later the evil will come looking for you.
Perhaps, Sarak replied, but that is simply more reason to remain hidden. Provoking evil seems a foolish course to follow.
Yes, that may be, Alex agreed. Yet I ask that you answer one question. What would you call an elf or a man or even a dwarf who would not help when a friend was in dire need?
You would shame us further and call us cowards,
Sarak answered angrily. Your word, not mine, Alex said. If the title fits, you must live with it.
Wizards are known for their cunning ways and their ability to twist words. What will you say to those of our people who will die if we join this battle? You know, as we all do, that many will die. What words do you have for them?
Sarak asked. Yes, Alex said sadly. Many will die in the coming fight. Such is the price of life, even for the ageless elves. Those who die, however, will die with honor. They will die without the shame that your people have lived with for so long.
Enough of this,
Navarre said loudly.
This is a choice that every elf must make individually. And for me and the members of my house who wish it, I will join Lord Darthon in this war. If the other houses wish to join us, they will be welcome. If they wish to remain hidden, as Master Taylor said, you must live with the title that fits.
Kirill stood and bowed to Navarre.
I will tell Lord Darthon of your decision, my lord.
Thank you, Alex said to Navarre. I know joining this war will be a sacrifice for your people, but I know we will not be able to defeat this evil without your help. Navarre nodded his head to Alex.
Perhaps we can begin to help you right now. There is one more thing you should know about the Black Lands, though I cannot say how true it might be, or if it is simply legend.
Something more about the Black Lands? Alex asked.
There are old stories about our ancient home, Navarre explained. They say that at certain times strange lights appear in the night. Some say that the lights are the shadows' magic, used to mislead travelers and cause them to become lost forever in the darkness. Others say that the lights are the lost souls of those who have died, those who created the shadows in the first place, and who are unable to leave the Black Lands until the shadows they created are undone. Whatever version of the story is true, I urge you to avoid the lights if you see them. All the stories say that the lights bring madness or even death to any who get too close to them.
Thank you for this information, Lord Navarre, said Alex. It will be helpful when I cross the Black Lands.
You still think the path through the Black Lands is the best way to travel, even knowing all that you do?
Navarre asked with concern. It seems the only path open to me, Alex answered. I wish it was not. It will be a dangerous journey, and I would rather face that danger alone instead of taking others with me into such a place.
Then take only those who choose to go of their own free will, Navarre said. Those who will be most likely to withstand any evil you may meet.
I hope that we all may withstand the evil, Alex replied. Thank you again for what you have shared with me.
I wish you luck in your quest, and I hope to meet you face to face one day very soon, said Navarre.
A hope that I share, Alex answered, standing and bowing slightly. All of the sea elves stood and bowed to their lords until their images faded and vanished. Without a word, Kirill turned and motioned for Alex to follow him. They remained silent until they were almost back to the city walls.
I would not have you think badly of Sarok, Kirill said. He is not the fearful sea elf that he appears to be in council.
I do not think badly of any elf, Alex replied. I understand that he is only trying to protect his people.
Not in the way you are thinking, Kirill said. It is Sarok's job in council to take a stand for the old ways, to uphold the traditions of my people. His own true feelings are very different. I think if he had his way, we would be far more involved with what happens in the land of Jaro than we have been for many lifetimes of men.
So he really wants to help, even though it means going to war? Even though he knows many of your people will die? Alex asked.
Death is not always to be feared, Kirill answered. Most of my people believe that to die in a good cause is better than to live forever in hiding. Few of my people, however, would say such a thing out loud. We have been in hiding for a very long time, and old ways are not easy to change.
Let us hope that the change will not prove too costly for your people, Alex said.
Yes, let us hope, Kirill agreed.
The elves are going to fight?
Waylon asked. Alex had found the old wizard sitting next to the fire in their rooms, waiting for his return. He had a worried look on his face, and a huge pile of papers scattered on the floor around him. Some of them, at least, Alex said. Maybe even most of them.
How did you manage that?
Alex quickly told Waylon about what had happened during the Council of the Sea Elves. When he finished, Waylon leaned back in his chair.
You have done well, Alex. With the Sea Elves on our side, our chances of winning this fight without destroying most of Westland will be better. But...
I know, Alex said. Nothing will really matter if I can't get into Conmar, find the Axe of Sundering, and finish Jabez.
Yes, and I've been trying to find something that will help with that,
Waylon said, waving his hand at the papers around him. A magical way to find the axe? Alex asked hopefully.
No, nothing as simple as that,
Waylon said, shaking his head.
I doubt that Jabez would use any great magic to hide the axe, as that would simply act as a sign to anyone who knows how to look. Don't forget, the axe is a magical weapon as well, and any magic used on the axe may react in unexpected ways.
What are you looking for, then?
A way for you to get to Conmar without traveling through the Black Lands,
Waylon answered.
Given what Navarre told you about the dangers in the Black Lands, I feel even more strongly that you should avoid them.
Yes, there will be danger traveling in the Black Lands, but the magic the Sea Elves used there is not necessarily evil. At least, it's not the same evil that we are trying to defeat at Conmar.
The magic the Elves used may not have been evil, at least not directly, but it was powerful, and it has caused a great deal of evil to follow.
Most of that evil has been done to the Sea Elves, Alex said.
Hardly,
Waylon said.
Oh, I know the sea elves have suffered because of what they did. But what about the shadows?
The shadows?
They were given life,
Wayland said.
Maybe not life as you and I know it, but life just the same. The shadows could think and feel and make their own decisions. What they were not given was a choice in what they would become. They were also not given an end, a way to die and become simply shadows once more. That, to my mind, is a greater evil than anything the sea elves have had to live with.
I hadn't thought of it that way, Alex admitted.
You should, Wayland said. If you must travel through the Black Lands, you should look at things from all angles.
It seems like there is always something more to think about, Alex said with a yawn.
Yes, there is,
Wayland agreed.
So, when you think you've thought of everything, you can be sure you are wrong.
Alex said goodnight to Wayland and went to his bedroom. He wasn't really tired, but he wanted to be alone to think. He took off his boots, stretched out on top of his bed, and looked up at the dark ceiling of his room. He thought about his main enemy, Jabez. Jabez would know something about the Black Lands, but how much? If he thought no one could travel through the Black Lands, then he wouldn't worry about guarding them. It was a chance, maybe the only chance that Alex would have to get close to Conmar Castle as quickly as he needed to without being seen. Unfortunately, traveling through the Black Lands sounded like a way to vanish and never be seen again. Was it a risk worth taking? Could he gamble his life on it? What about the lives of the 20 men who would be joining him? Alex tried to think of what he would do if he were in Jabez's place, which was difficult because he wasn't sure how much Jabez knew about the Black Lands or about the Sea Elves. But Alex knew that Jabez was worried about his ability to retain control of Westland. He had wanted to keep Darthon and the Southern Kingdom out of the fight for as long as possible. Perhaps Jabez was moving sooner than he had planned to. Perhaps something was forcing him to try to take control before he was really ready.
The Brotherhood must be pushing him,
Alex's Ogash whispered.
Why?
Alex asked, and then thought through the answers.
The Brotherhood took their time. They were patient. They had taken hundreds of years in their attempt to conquer Nisa. Had their failure in Nisa changed their plans here in Jaro? Did the Brotherhood have some deadline for taking control of all the known lands?
Questions that Alex couldn't possibly answer began to pile up in his mind until it was hard to think clearly about anything. Slowly, he forced himself to clear his mind, to refocus on the one problem he had to solve immediately. How could he reach the castle of Conmar quickly? Traveling through the Black Lands was the fastest way, but was it the right thing to do? After a short time, Alex let his mind empty and tried to sleep. The next few days would be busy ones, and he would need to be ready. He would find out soon enough if his decision to travel through the Black Lands was a good one or not. Chapter 18. The Black Lands. 3 days after his meeting with the Sea Elves, Alex headed south, leading a group of 19 away from Valora. They would follow the edge of the mountains, trying to remain unseen by any of Jabez's spies that might be in the area. Waylon and the men of Darthon's armies would be moving north the next day, but Alex wanted to leave while the weather was still clear. He was sad and worried when he said goodbye to Waylon, but knew that dividing their forces at this point might be the key to destroying Jabez and the evil he had unleashed.
You will see Waylon again soon,
Alex's Ogash whispered, which made Alex feel better. Alex and his small group had traveled for several miles before the sky darkened with storm clouds. Alex could smell the rain before it started to fall, and the sound of it dripping from the trees calmed his mind. The rain didn't care about the evil of Conmar, and it didn't care about the war in Westland. The seasons went on unchanged, and that fact gave Alex hope. In 2 or 3 days, if the rain cleared up, they would reach the southernmost pass over the mountains. Alex had promised Wayland that if the way over the mountains was clear, he would travel that way. But if snow blocked their way, then Alex would lead the group further south and through the Black Lands. Alex didn't look back at the group he was leading, but his mind called up each of their faces. 17 men whom Alex had chosen from the more than 200 of Darthon's army who had volunteered. He had taken Navarre's advice and had not let Lord Darthon order anyone to go with him, but the number of men willing to go had made things difficult for Alex. He had chosen just 17, and now he hoped that he had chosen well. Alongside the men was Dagmar Longdrink, a dwarf who had also volunteered to go with Alex. Grimgold had reminded Alex that there were almost sure to be dwarves held captive in the dungeons of Conmar as well as men, and seeing the face of another dwarf would make any rescued dwarves more trusting and possibly more helpful as well. The final member of the group was someone Alex had not wanted to bring along. Aaliyah, who was riding just behind him, had insisted on coming. Alex didn't like the idea at all, and Kirill had begged Alex not to allow her to go. Aaliyah had insisted, however, and declared that if Alex wouldn't take her as part of the company, then she would follow behind them on her own. Alex had tried to reason with her, and when that didn't work, he had asked why she should come. Aaliyah would not give any reason why. She simply said that she would stay with the company wherever it might go. Alex turned his thoughts from his fellow travelers and concentrated on the trail before him. Aaliyah rode up beside him.
"You are still set on this path?" she asked.
She kept her hood up, not only to keep the rain away, but to hide her face from the other travelers. "I am," Alex answered without looking at the sea elf. "It is not too late for you to turn back." Aaliyah shook her head.
"How far do you think we will travel today?"
"A few more miles before the sun sets," Alex said slowly, not really wanting to talk. "The sun will be down in an hour or two. We'll make camp before we lose the light."
"There is a small cave up ahead that might be a good place for camp," Aaliyah said.
Alex looked at her. "You've traveled this way before?" Aaliyah smiled.
"Though we live our lives on the sea, we have not forgotten the land we once loved."
"I know the Black Lands were once your home. I wish I could have seen them as they once were."
"I wish that too," Aaliyah said. "The Black Lands are a strange place, a place where you always feel that you are being watched."
"By the shadows?"
"And the lights that linger there."
Alex didn't ask any more questions. It was clear that Aaliyah had been close to the Black Lands. It was also clear that her people had seen things that were both frightening and painful to remember. They continued to travel through the rain until the dim light from the setting sun lit up the tops of the trees. Aaliyah motioned to Alex and led him away from the trail they had been following. They moved into the woods, riding around a large boulder. The boulder was much larger than it first appeared to be, and behind it Alex found a deep cave with an overhang that could be used as a shelter from the rain. The spot had been used many times, and Alex was grateful that Aaliyah had guided them here.
"We will rest here for the night," Alex said to his men. "We are safe here from weather and any prying eyes that might be looking for us."
Some of Alex's men settled onto the dry ground, while others tended to the horses. Dagmar gathered kindling to start a fire, mumbling to himself. Alex was glad there was enough real wood in the cave that they could use for a fire. He didn't want to use his magic. He needed to conserve his energy so he would be ready for whatever lay ahead. While Dagmar and two of the men fixed a meal for the group, Aaliyah came to sit beside Alex.
"Were you able to learn what you needed to know about Darlok Estmaser?"
she asked. "I know more now than I did," Alex said, "but not everything I wish to know. I still do not know if it means Master of Dragons or Destroyer of Dragons."
"Is there a difference?"
Aaliyah asked. Alex nodded. "I believe there is, and I believe the difference might matter more than I might guess. I need to think about it some more."
Aaliyah tucked her hands under her cloak. "I used to dream about dragons, you know."
"You did?" Alex asked.
"When I was young, I always dreamed the same dream about a dragon," Aaliyah went on, talking more to herself than to Alex. "I thought it meant that I would meet a dragon one day."
"A strange dream for an elf maid to have," Alex said.
"I still believe it. Sometimes, at least a little."
She looked at Alex.
"Have you ever met a dragon?"
Alex thought about Slathbog the Red, Salinor hidden on the Isle of Bones, and the golden dragon he'd seen in Darthon's mind. Lastly, he thought of his own second true form as a true silver dragon, and he simply smiled and said, "I have." Aaliyah sighed.
"Then perhaps the dream of a little elf maid might come true."
As the group settled in for the night, Alex found a comfortable spot to lie down, then closed his eyes and tried to clear his thoughts. He didn't expect to run into any trouble, at least not yet, and as he listened to the sounds of men around him, Dagmar grumbling about having to sit next to Aaliyah, and the rain falling outside, Alex fell asleep. It was near dawn when Alex woke, but the sky was darker than it had been the day before. The rain was still falling, but it was a colder rain than before, and it would probably turn to snow before the day was over. Alex put his blankets away and took a heavy cloak from his magic bag. "Winter is closing in on us," Alex commented, wrapping his cloak around his shoulders.
"Winter comes early in Westland,"
Aaliyah answered.
"We should eat and move on. If we move swiftly, we can reach the Black Lands before the weather becomes too cold."
Alex nodded his agreement and helped Dagmar gather wood to make a fire to cook their breakfast. Aaliyah remained hidden in her cloak, lost in her own thoughts. Alex looked at her from time to time, wondering what she might be thinking. A few hours after breaking camp, the rain changed to wet and heavy snow. Though the winter storm made traveling difficult, Alex knew the bad weather would also make it harder for Jabez's spies to see them as they traveled. He and his friends pushed forward through the snow and the growing cold without stopping. The sky grew thick with thunderclouds, and the wind blew harder as the day went on. In the early afternoon, the storm grew so wild that it was difficult to make any headway. The ground was slick with mud and snow, and it had grown so dark that it was hard to tell which direction they were going. Alex thought about magically pushing the storm away, but decided against it. It would take some powerful magic to push this storm away, and so close to Conmar, Jabez was sure to notice. An hour later, Dagmar rode up next to Alex.
"We should try to find some shelter,"
he yelled over the wind.
"I doubt there's a dry spot to be found," Alex yelled back.
Dagmar nodded.
"If you're thinking of crossing the mountain passes, we'll have to turn to the west soon."
Alex had promised Waylon that he would first try to use the mountain pass, and for a moment he hesitated.
"The storm is too bad, and there is too much snow," he finally said. "We'll never make it over the mountain pass."
Dagmar brushed snow from his beard.
"We'll follow where you lead, Master Taylor. But are you sure you want to attempt crossing the Black Lands?"
Alex looked at Dagmar, then at Aaliyah, then at the other men who had volunteered to come with him.
"We have no other choice," he said. "We have to save the hostages, and I must face Jabez. Otherwise, Darthon's army, our friends, and all our hopes will fail."
Dagmar nodded and rode back to his place in line.
"You're a good leader," Aaliyah said. "The men trust you."
Alex squinted up at the endless storm.
"I hope they still do once we enter the Black Lands."
There was no shelter on the trail, so they rode on into the night. When the storm finally ended, it was almost dawn, and the horses and men were too tired to go much further.
"We are almost there," Aaliyah said. "Almost to the Black Lands."
Alex nodded his understanding, too exhausted to say anything. He simply followed Aaliyah's lead as she turned off the path.
"Careful," she said. "The way through the woods will be slippery after the rain and snow."
Alex followed Aaliyah into the woods. They rode for almost a mile before Aaliyah stopped at the bottom of what looked like a cliff. She got off her horse and stepped close to the rock wall. Alex dismounted and joined her. Aaliyah spoke an elven word, and the rock face slid back, revealing the dark opening of a tunnel. "A well-hidden door," Alex commented.
"And one that has not been opened in many years," Aaliyah said, a note of fear in her voice. "I wish we did not have to open it now."
"Will it lead us to the Black Lands?" Alex asked. Aaliyah nodded.
"The other end opens on the northern edge of the Black Lands. It is almost dawn. We can shelter here for now. Tomorrow night, we will be in the Black Lands."
Alex nodded his understanding and helped to set up their camp. They all needed to rest, and he knew that traveling through this dark tunnel would be harder for them all than the storm of the previous night. After a quick but warming meal, the men settled into their blankets to get some much-needed sleep. Alex stood for a time, looking at the tunnel that would lead them to the Black Lands. The darkness was forbidding, but darkness was the last thing Alex was worried about. So much about the Black Lands was still unknown, and he wasn't sure that he could protect all of these men from the unknown dangers ahead of them.
"You should rest,"
Aaliyah said quietly as she stepped up beside him. "How long will it take to pass through this tunnel?" Alex asked.
"Half a day," Aaliyah answered. "Or half a night. Rest now. You will need all your strength when we reach the Black Lands."
Alex turned to look at Aaliyah, giving her what he hoped was a reassuring smile. He walked away without speaking, finding a place to rest, leaning against the roots of an ancient tree. He let his body rest while his mind continued to spin with questions. Slowly, his mind emptied of questions, and without really falling asleep, he rested. From under his mostly closed eyelids, Alex watched the camp and the men who were trying to sleep. None of the men were sleeping well, and most would jerk awake from time to time, glancing at the dark opening they had to enter, and then rolling over to try to sleep once more. Only Dagmar appeared to be sleeping well, and Alex wasn't surprised. A dwarf would have no fear of traveling underground. Alex also kept an eye on Aaliyah. She hid her fear well, but he could tell that she was terrified. For long periods of time, she would stare at the dark tunnel, as if seeing what was waiting for them all at the